Bechizda. Who is Bechizda's Rebbe? A lot of Rebbeim, but primarily he learned with Rav, very good, second generation Amora. But he also, interestingly, learned a lot with Rav Huna. Rav Chizda's Rebbe was Rav Huna, and it's so interesting because Rav Chizda and Rav Huna have a ton of machloksin in Shas. So he was his Rebbe, but he had a lot of machloksin. He was very mechabed his Rebbe. Rav Huna was the Rosh Hashiva. Where, anyone know? In Surah, which is where Rav was the Rosh Hashiva. Where was Shmuel the Rosh Hashiva? Narada. Narada and Surah were the two big yeshivas. So Rav Chizda was the Rosh Hashiva in Surah. He started out very poor, and then he became very wealthy, making his money by selling beer. He was a beer salesman. He has a lot of halachas of beer. And for those of you who are a little tired, he was known for not sleeping a lot at night. There was Rav Chizda didn't sleep a lot at night, because you either choose a life of rest or a life of accomplishment. It's really hard to have both, trust me. It's really hard to have both. You're choosing rest. Gotta make a decision in life. What do you want? Rest or accomplishment? Who were some of his Talmidim? Rav Chizda? Well, one Talmud was also his son-in-law. I know that. Rav Lichtenstein was the Rav's Talmud. Rav Akin was his son-in-law. Rava was Rav Chizda's son-in-law and his Talmud, as was Rami Bar Chava. So Rava and Rami Bar Chava were brothers-in-law. They each married daughters of Rav Chizda, and you have a lot of machlokes in the Shas between Rava and Rami Bar Chava. Okay, so good to remember these things. We'll learn a little about who these people were. So Rav Chizda says, Sach bein tefila letefila chozer mevarech. Sach in lo sach lo. Who does that sound like? Rashi or Beinu Tam? If you speak between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, then you repeat a bracha. Write it on the board. Amar Rav Chizda. Okay, Amar Rav Chizda. Sach bein, help me read it, bein tefila letefila chozer umevarech. Sach in lo sach lo. What does that sound closer to? Rashi or Beinu Tam?
Rashi.
If you speak between Shol Yad, you make a second bracha. If you don't speak, you make one bracha. One bracha on two tefillin, according to Rashi. Unless you speak, then you repeat the bracha. That sounds a lot like Rav Chizda's original statement. Sach, read it again. Sach, bein tefillin tefillin ben. If you speak, you got to repeat the bracha. If you don't speak, the first bracha counts. That sounds a lot like Rashi. Rashi sheet is, if you make one bracha on tefillin shel yad, if you don't speak, that's enough. If you speak, you got to repeat the bracha and change it a little bit. So Rav Chizda's original statement makes it sound a lot like Rashi. Let's read a little more. Wait a second. There's this, wait a second. Vashalach Rav Chia bar, the Rebbe Rav Huna Mishmeid Rav Yochanan. We have another statement in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Al Tvil Shayad Asher Kiddushanu, Vitzivanu Laniach Tvilin, Al Tvilin Sharosh Asher Kiddushanu, Al Mitzvah Tvilin. So, how do you drive? How do you reconcile what you said or what the Rabbi Yochanan said? So, Abaye Barava, let's read the Gemara, Darin Tervai, that's exactly what Rav Chizda meant. Rava, the son of Lord Rav Chizda, is defending his father. That's what my father in law meant. Losach. So, here's and Rava's update to Rav Chizda. Abaye and Rava just updating Rav Chizda. We're not arguing Rav Chizda, we're updating. Help me read. What does Abaye and Rava say? Abaye and Rava Mahamar. Help me read. Lo sach achas. Lo sach. What's the lashon of the Gemara? Lo sach mevarach achas. Sach mevarach shnayim. Namely, Abaye and Rava are merely updating Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda made it sound like you really should only have one bracha. If you speak, you have to chozer, repeat the one bracha. If you don't speak, sachin, if you did speak, repeat the one bracha. If lo sach, then you have one bracha, repeat, or just have the original one. And Abaye Barabbas saying that's what Rav Chizda meant. Lo sach mevarach achas, repeat the one bracha. Sach mevarach shnayim, because in the end, you will have made a bracha on tefillin shel yad, and then you have to repeat the bracha, because you spoke on tefillin, not shel yad, but tefillin shel rosh.
But is it the same bracha?
That sounds a lot like Rashi. Now we'll discuss why going to Rashi the bracha changes. If you speak, if there's only one bracha, that's an interesting question. But if you read the Gemara, it doesn't sound like there are two brachas l'chachila. Rashi's world. The Gemara sounds like Rashi's world. Rashi, Rav Chizda sounds a lot like Rashi. Let's repeat it again. Just say it 5-6 times. Sometimes you repeat the Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda. Sach min tefila tefila, if you happen to speak. Okay, you got to repeat the bracha. Chozer, repeat the bracha. Chozer, repeat the one bracha. Sachin, if you spoke, repeat the bracha. Lo sach, if you didn't speak, you're great. One bracha counts for two tefillin. Again, I'm Rav Chizda. Sach, you spoke, chozer, repeat the one bracha. Sachin, if you speak, yes.
Losach, if he didn't speak, no problem, the one bracha counts. Then the Gemara says, wait a second, we have these two brachas out there. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's what he meant. Losach mevarach achas. If you didn't speak, you make one bracha. Sach mevarach shtayim, you will have made two brachas, because if you speak, then you have to change, for some reason, change the bracha mishorosh. But if you don't speak, you just make one bracha, v'loniach mishoyat, and it covers the shorosh. Namely, there's no shift between Rav Chisda that sounds a lot like Rashi and Abaye Barava. What word shows me? What word is missing in the Gemara? What word should the Gemara have written if there's a real shift between Rav Chisda and Abaye? What word in Shas shows us that the Gemara is shifting gears and saying something new? Three-letter word starts with Aleph?
El.
When the Gemara shifts its logic, rather than just updating, explaining, amending, whenever there's a shift, you got to look for these words. When the Gemara shifts its logic, counters its logic, turns it around, Ella, what I really meant to say, you got it all wrong. So if Abaye and Rava were holding like the Rebbe and Tam, this is how Rebbe and Tam reads Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava says, lo sach mevar achas on the shel rosh. If you don't speak, you make one bracha on the shel rosh and one bracha on the shel yad, namely, laniach and al mitzvah, so according to Rebbe and Tam now. Sach, but if you did speak, then on the shel yad, you made laniach, and on the shel rosh, you have to make now two brachas. Sach mevarach achas, lo sach mevarach achas, sach mevarach shtayim. Then Abaye and Rava should say Ella, because they're really introducing two brachas. When Rav Chisda only spoke about one bracha, we pass it like Abaye and Rava. If the Rebbeinu Tam is correct, then maybe the word Ella should be written here. Ella, I'm Rabbi. No, you got it all wrong. If you didn't speak, then you make one bracha on Shel Yad, one bracha on Shel Rosh. If you did speak, then you make two brachas in the Shel Rosh, which means you will have had three brachas, including one in the Shel Yad. So if you follow, fine. If you didn't see the Gemara, also fine. It sounds from the Gemara like Shitas Rashi. We're going to spend it on that. No, little bit. Okay, there goes our port. Permanent market. Anyone have any alcohol? Please tell me you don't have any nail polish remover on you. Like, anyone have nail polish remover?
Yes.
Please don't say yes.
We have ICC.
I do not want to hear that. Call it the 7-second rule, guys, okay?
Well,
you boys should not be combing your hair more than 7 seconds, okay? 7 seconds is max. 2 seconds, 3 seconds, shoop, shoop, shoop. No more than 7 seconds in front of the mirror, guys, okay? That's the max. Try to get to 4. Yes, shoot.
So we're saying that according to Krista, you would make, if you spoke, you would make the same bracha that you made earlier
right
again.
Over.
It might not be the other.
What?
You need to go and check on the other.
What, nail polish remover?
No, erasers.
No, it's a permanent marker.
No, it's
a
permanent marker.
We gotta get nail polish.
This stuff in the last days.
I have something for that makes the seat ends harder. I think that's for nail polish remover.
Enamel thing. You have it? Actually, you probably use the oil in traditional sometimes.
We can use the top right now. That's for love gesture.
Yes.
So we're saying that according to Krista, if you spoke, you would make the same roughly made point.
It sounds that way.
You just make it again, but Abaye and Rava say it's a completely new roughly.
They
say it's two separate roughly. Sounds.
Says
it's only one.
Okay. Let's see if that can
work. Krista and Abaye and Rava would agree with that.
Guys, we'll deal with it today, and I'll get them to clean it tomorrow. Okay. So Shitas Rashi is.
Is that also for us?
Okay. We'll just deal with it in our minds. Okay. Shitas Rashi. Did everyone get a mind here? Mind. Everyone get your mind working. Shitas Rashi.
I'll be here till next year also.
What? No. Shitas Rashi. Okay. So what's the Shitas Rashi? Today we're going to spend time with Shitas Rashi. You make how many brachas on two tefillins?
One
bracha. One bracha. If you happen to speak, then you have a hefsek between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel rosh. So you have to repeat the bracha. What's the big kasha? Of course, why do you change the bracha? But basically, you have one bracha in play. Normally, one bracha would cover both tefillins. If you spoke between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, there's a hefsek. What do you do in life when you have a hefsek? You make a new bracha. Why do you change the bracha? Shimon, why does Abaye and Rava say you change the bracha? That's a whole different question in Rashi. But let's first question and probe Rashi Shiva. Yes, that's it.
when it says sach, is that just speaking, or like if you have another chapter, do you also have to make a bracha?
Well, let's assume it's both. For the meantime, let's keep all the variables even, and then look at now. When Rashi says one bracha on two tefillins, it's either a chiddush in ah or it's a chiddush in ah. Fill in the blanks. Let's get into the analysis here. It's either a chiddush in how I understand dina brachos or how I understand dina. Right, easy guys. You guys are all done already. Right, every halachic question is a combination of two variables, and the logic is based on the variable. So Rashi's chiddush is one bracha for two tefillin. It's either a chiddush in achas brachas, or it's a chiddush in achas tefillin. So we'll talk about three pshats today. A, B, A. First we'll talk about a chiddush in achas tefillin. Then we'll cycle to the Vilna Gaon's a chiddush in achas brachas. And then we'll go back to the third approach, maybe a chiddush in achas tefillin. So we're going to go A, B, A. I don't have it on the board, but we'll just deal with it today. Okay? What's the easiest way to explain Rashi? Maybe Shita's Rashi, may not be Shita's Rashi. It's a chiddush in achas tefillin. From Rashi, you see, if there's one bracha, then evidently it's one mitzvah. Very good. We can learn about the nature of the mitzvah from the nature of the brachos. We know there are tariag mitzvahs. We don't know what counts. Did you count? We talked about this when you guys came to visit me. Should we count an ola as four mitzvahs or one mitzvah? Should we count binyan beis hamikdash as one mitzvah or 75 mitzvahs? Should we count Shabbos as one mitzvah, 39 lavim? How do you count mitzvahs? So all of a sudden, if it's one bracha, maybe it's one mitzvah. Maybe Tzvon Shliyad, Tzvon Shirosh is one mitzvah. Which we should hold as one mitzvah? Who counts it as only one mitzvah? Very, very unique mitzvah. Only one mitzvah. The Urim. Yeah. The Urim counts Tzvon Shliyad and Tzvon Shirosh, the Bahag. The Bahag, I didn't give you the Bahag, but it happens to be the Bahag. The Urim counts. If you look at your sheets, okay, just since you guys have the sheets out, let me get the sheets out with you. Okay. If you see the Urim... Thanks. Shin Sadik Tes. Remember I told you the Urim was a thank you. Rabbeinu Eliezer of Metz, and he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam. Anyone remember who his Rebbe, who his Talmud was? The Rabia. And the Rabia taught the Or Zarua, who taught the Maharam Rottenberg, who taught the Russian Rottenberg. So the Urim is really important, that channel, that line of transmission. You get from Rashi to the Retor, you have to go through the Sefer Yerayim, Rabbeinu Eliezer of Metz. So you wrote a Sefer Mitzvahs called Sefer Yerayim, and if you look at your sheet, he quotes one mitzvah, Simin Shin Tzadik Tes. So maybe the sheet is Rashi. Maybe if we call Rashi into the room right now, maybe Rashi would say it's one mitzvah, Therefore, you have only one bracha. Which Rashi makes it sound that way? Very good. Look, good Rashi. Excellent. If you look at Rashi on Daf Lamed Vav, it sounds a little bit like that from Rashi. On Daf Lamed Vav, and Aleph, Dibur HaMaschil, Mitzvah Tzvillin, when Rashi describes the second bracha on the Shorosh, or the bracha on the Shorosh, Rashi writes, the Achshav Gomer Es HaMitzvah. By putting on tefillin shorosh, you're now finishing the mitzvah, ha mitzvah.
On Mendawad, he says,
right. So it's not just a kasha from Rashi, it's a kasha from the Gemara. If they're one mitzvah, then what would we expect? If they're one mitzvah, we'd expect tefillin shorosh to be, or tefillin shoyad to be, and they're not. How do we know tefillin? Trick question. How do we know the tefillin shorosh is not makif tefillin shliyah? The tefillin shliyah, it's a mishnah. The mishnah says a mem dalet. Tchelis is a makif lavan. Thank God, because we've had tchelis for thousands of years. Lavan is a. Telling some boys the other day a very cute story once. A guy. There's all of these cases where tefillin get lost and people have to find them. So today it's a little bit easier. You put it on Facebook, you put it on Twitter. Finally, find the person across the world. Actually, it's a very interesting story. There's someone in the yeshuv. He's actually making a wedding in a few nights and marrying off his son. He was a Talmud in yeshiva named Schmidman. He does a lot of peer work. He's a professor at Bar Ilan. I don't know if you know him. He's on Yehuda Schmidman, Jotia Schmidman. What?
Yeah, Avishman.
Avishman. How do you know Avi?
He's talking
about that. Oh, okay, so I do that. Okay, so anyway, so he was once driving home from a wedding with Rav Lichtenstein. What's Pshat? Rav Lichtenstein would never ask for rides to wedding. He didn't feel like it was his place. So normally, most boys were like very sensitive. You're going to a wedding, like we'll send a driver for you. But sometimes these Israeli boys just like wouldn't be sensitive. And I think Rav Aaron would take like three or four buses to go to a wedding. Take a bus from Gush to Yerushalayim, a bus from Yerushalayim to Haifa, a bus from Haifa to Paradis Chana, and a bus from Paradis Chana to the local hall. He spent 5 hours coming to a wedding. But we all knew that at a wedding, Rav Aaron didn't have a ride home. So we'd all make a beeline for him at a wedding. Rebbe, can we give you a ride home? And we got 2 hours in the car with Rav Aaron. So first of all, it was a real Musar Haskel. he would be makbid not to sit in the front. Like we said, you're the Rosh Hashiva, sit in the front. Like he said, no, who am I to separate a man and his wife from the night that they can, you know, spend time together and be together? So he wouldn't get in the car unless he sat in the back. So you always have this awkward situation where you're sitting with your wife in the front seat and you're talking to her about her in the back seat. Because it'd be makbid. So to this day, I'll never get into a front seat if the wife is in the car. So yeah, you sit with your husband, sit with your wife, I'll never get into it. So you always sit in the back. Anyway, so Avi Shmivin was once driving home from Liechtenstein. And Rav Aaron Lessing was telling a story that he was on the subway and he found a pair of tefillin on the subway and he kept them to the Mechayim Mitzvah of Hashem HaSaveda. This was like 1988, 89 or something. Rav Lichtenstein was nifter a few years ago, what was it, 2017 maybe? 2016? Okay, exactly. When? 15, 16. So they were going through his possessions and looking through his office and going through his drawer and they found that pair of tefillin in the top drawer. He held on to the tefillin for 40 years to go kind of into Hashem HaSaveda. So next time you see something that you could return, think twice before you just walk by and you give up a mitzvah, which is very hard today to go kind of Hashem HaSaveda for two reasons. Number one is because pretty much everything's disposable. Like what would you lose that you really would, oh my goodness, my world's ending? Maybe a cell phone, maybe. Hey, you lose your glasses, you get a new pair, you lose. They had fewer possessions. So when they lost something and you return it to them, they really were thankful. They really did value something for them. You see, I keep up, clothing, you go through items much more disposably than they used to. Also, it's much harder to find people to, with Facebook, it's a little bit easier. Anyway, so, what was I talking about? What? Right. So anyway, so this is a story. Thank you. There's a story. Guy steals a pair of tefillin. A non-Jew steals a pair of tefillin. Runs into, 57th Street Fodder, where the Hasidim work in New York?
Diamond District.
Runs into the Diamond District, knows there are Hasidim there, runs into the store and says, hey, I got a hot pair of tefillin. How much you give it to me? I know it's expensive to you Jews. So the guy behind the counter was thinking fast on his feet. He says, well, let me try it on and see if it fits. I'm not going to pay for a pair of tefillin unless I see whether it fits. It takes out the shulyad. He puts on the shulyad. He says, hey, where's the other hand? Like, where's the other hand? And the guy says, I don't know. He says, well, it's a broken set. It's a defective set. I'll give you $10 for it. Even $10. And he got the bear tefillin and he found the owner. And it's a broken set. It's a maggid. The guy should have said, what about the Mishnah Menachos? Tefillin shayat, ayim ha-kevus of the Rosh. Rosh ayim ha-kevus. So the guy didn't know the Mishnah Menachos. Okay, so the posture says, if tefillin shayat is not maggid tefillin shayat, then if they're not maggid, finish the sentence. If they're not maggid, then they're not?
Same mitzvah.
So we still are stuck in Rashi. How do you explain one bracha if there's separate mitzvahs? And even if you feel that Rashi would disagree and find some way to answer the Mishnah, the Rambam paskins like Rashi. The Rambam paskins that we recite only one bracha lechatchila. And yet the Rambam clearly holds that how many mitzvahs are they? Two. Where did you see the Rambam say this? Three times, right? We're getting used to looking up the Rambam. Where did we look up the Rambam today? Number one. Sefer HaMitzvahs, two mitzvahs. Number two. Introduction to the Chassidim, to Mitzvahs. Where else?
Actually,
Yad Chazaka. Always train yourself to look up. There's a fourth Rambam that we look up today, Parashat Mishnayos, but that's less halachically authoritative because that was not written as a halachic work. That was written as a parish to the Mishnah. And, fascinatingly enough, does anyone know it was the first sefer the Rambam wrote in the 1130s? He was very young. Right, he's not in high school, but he was young. And, more impressive than being young, he spent 10 years running for his life from Islamic fundamentalists, moving from city to city, country to country, and he wrote the Sefer by heart. Like at some point in Taros, in his Berush Mishnayos, he says, by the way, excuse me if I got a word or two wrong. I've been writing this by heart while I'm running for my life. Running for his life, right? Running away, writing down. Give me a break if I got a word here. Not correct. So it's a little bit scary to think about the Rambam writing the Parish HaMishnayos while he's on the run. So we're still stuck. If they're two mitzvahs, and it sounds like they're two mitzvahs because they're not makiv each other, and the Rambam clearly says they're two mitzvahs, then finish the sentence. If they're two mitzvahs, one is there. So we have to shift it now from a chiddush in Hilchas Tefillin to a chiddush in Hilchas Brachos. What would you say the chiddush is? That maybe, come on, finish the sentence. Even though sometimes if they're two mitzvahs, you can make
one
bracha. Now, generally, why can't you make one bracha on two mitzvahs? What?
It's different as mitzvahs.
No, do two mitzvahs together. Do, I don't know, do tefillin and tzitzis together. Make one bracha.
Do
what? Okay, so make one bracha and mitzvah for two.
It's
a different mitzvah, it's a different action. What if I could find two mitzvahs that are clearly two different mitzvahs, but it's the same action? that would be a good test case, because tefillin is the same general action. Let's not distinguish right now between yad and shalosh.
So, like, tzitzis with chelas on them?
Okay, if there'd be a mitzvah to make tzitzis and make a bracha, but there isn't. We don't make a bracha or make
tzitzis. No,
we're
putting on the tzitzis.
No, but you put on tzitzis once, chelas and love. You're not putting on two different tzitzis.
Oh, you're saying, I thought you said one action.
Can there be two actions of a ma'isa mitzvah, but if they're similar?
Talas gadol, like...
Okay, so maybe Talas gadol and tzitzis.
Make one bracha for both.
Make one bracha, but it's the same mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon.
What about like
the Vilna Gaon paskin like Rashi? We paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. We make two brachos. The Mechaber, the Rama paskins like Rabbeinu Tam. We make two brachos. The great irony: we paskin like Rashi about the structure of the trill in yesterday's shir. We paskin like Rabbeinu Tam about the amount of brachos. So if someone asks you, who do we paskin like Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam? Now you're Tam Mechaber. It depends. For the Seder of Parshas, we go like Rashi. Remember, remind me, what are the Seder of Parshas from Rashi? If you're looking at my trillin. Kadesh, Shema, Ma'ayin Shemoa. But when it comes to brachos, we make two brachos like Rabbeinu Tam. We say, Baruch Shem Kivor Malchus Eliyolam Voed, just in case it's a bracha levatala, just to cover ourselves, but we make two brachos like Rabbeinu Tam. The Vilna Gaon, who was known to have different psaks, the Vilna Gaon, right? Famous Machlokas Vilna Gaon Rabbeinu Tam, right? What's the famous Machlokas Vilna Gaon Rabbeinu Tam? When it's Seis HaKochavim. Our Seis HaKochavim is based on the Vilna Gaon. The Rabbeinu Tam has a later Seis HaKochavim, hence we call it Rabbeinu Tam. So this is a Rabbeinu Tam spot. It's a Rabbeinu Tam. Any of you wait Rabbeinu Tam? Any of you know Rabbeinu Tam? No? Okay, a lot of people wait Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam in Manchester is really, really, really late. I think I don't wait Rabbeinu Tam when I'm in Manchester. Okay, anyway, getting back to our halacha. So, can anyone think of a case? The Vilna Gaon wants to paskin like Rashi and the Rambam. This one bracha, but it's two mitzvahs, especially going to the Rambam. So the Vilna Gaon, being the Vilna Gaon, had to find a case where you do two mitzvahs, but it's the same action. The Tosefta says...
Oh, I have an idea.
Yeah.
What about, let's say, maybe by Talmud Torah, maybe if you're...
It's all one mitzvah, same mitzvah.
Same
mitzvah. What happens if a person is standing on his grain silo after the harvest and he wants to be mafresh truma and he wants to be mafresh meiser?
But it's the same action.
But two mitzvahs. Exactly the point. That's what we're looking for. It's a different action. It wouldn't work. That's exactly what the Vilna Gaon is looking for. How many brachas should you say? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Lafresh Truma. And then you should say another bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Lafresh Meisers. He says, after all, it's the same action, and I should make one bracha, lafas, chumas, and isis.
Oh, don't you need
to do chumas
and
then you do lafas? Make the bracha, you do both. Baruch Adal Hashem, lokeinu melech haolam, lafas, chumas, and isis. Take the chuma, and take the nicer. The Tosefta says you can. Bada bing, bada boom. That's the Vilna Gaon's raya. One second, let's listen to the raya. You can have two mitzvahs, chumas and isis, or two mitzvahs in anyone's book. There's no way to count them as one mitzvah. One goes to the Kohen, one goes to the Levi, one is Aser for a Zar, one is not. If you give the Levi Meiser, you can eat the Levi's Meiser. It's only been among us. There's no Iser for a Zar to eat Meiser. They're two totally separate mitzvahs. But since you know, the action is the same, you can combine them into one bracha. This is a Chiddush. Guys, step out of the Gemara Menachos for a second. This is a Chiddush in Hilchos, how we understand Berchos Ha. Mitzvah. Can someone summarize the Vilna Gaon's Chiddush or Rashi's Chiddush according to the Vilna Gaon? As long as X, you can have Y for Z. As long as similar action, you can have one bracha and two mitzvahs. Very good. So what does this tell us about the Berachos of Mitzvah? Very good. But what do I think the Berachos of Mitzvah is on? What's the nature of Berachos HaMitzvah? What would you say? When you say, Asher Kri Deshanam and Tzolos and Tzibara Al Mutin Las Nulim, how would you define that bracha?
Giving the mitzvah of the Tzolos to the Lord.
And therefore, why are you doing the bracha? You should.
That's on the action.
You should.
Declaring intent.
What's the purpose of Berachos HaMitzvah? Okay, guys, let me make it easy for you. When I see lightning, what do we call that bracha? When I see... Right, but what category of bracha is it? What am I doing?
Shema.
I'm praising Hashem when some really exciting event. What's another function of a bracha? What's another type of bracha?
Nen.
What's the bracha of nen? What do we call that? What function does a shahako play or a motzi or a mazonas play?
It's a matir.
It's a matir. I'm not allowed to eat the food until I make the bracha. So what would you think a Berachas HaMitzvah is? Shevach or Matir?
Hodah.
Shevach, Hodah. You're thanking Hashem for giving you a mitzvah.
Oh, a Matir to do the mitzvah.
Why do I need a Matir to do the mitzvah?
If I don't make a bracha on tefillah, so
yes. Well, why not? So if you think that Berachas HaMitzvah is a Berachas HaShelach, would you agree or disagree with the Gaon? Would you agree or disagree with the Gaon's Chiddush if a Berachas HaMitzvah is a Berachas HaShelach? I would disagree. Each mitzvah needs its own Shevach. But if it's a Matir, can you use one Matir for several mises?
Sure.
You will. What are you going to do about a half an hour? You make one bracha. Well, even not a motzi, because that's on the suda. You'll make a shakol and you'll eat, make shakol, chicken, and water. So you're making one bracha to be matir multiple actions. So for bricks and mitzvahs, that is a matir, like Yezra said, maybe your matir is making multiple actions. But it's a shvach, maybe not. So all of a sudden now, we're not learning menachas. What's Masechta learning now? Brachas, you see how Shas ripples? All of a sudden it's a Rebbe.
What?
You've been doing this well without
the Rebbe.
The Rav said that a Brachas and Mitzvah is a Matir. What does that mean? In order to do a Mitzvah, I have to ask Hashem for permission. I don't know if you're listening to what I was saying this morning, but some people say that a tefillah sederach is a matir. What am I being matir when it's not a tefillah, it's a bracha. What am I being matir when I say tefillah sederach? We call it tefillah sederach, tefillah bracha sederach. What am I being matir? Travel. What right do I have to travel in Hashem's world? Get from place to place, let's ask Hashem for permission. What right do I have to drink water? What right do I have to travel? What right do I have to do a mitzvah? Let's ask Hashem for permission. That's about tefillah. Not about tefillah sederach, but about bracha mitzvahs. Okay? So now we have, I'm sorry we don't have a board today, so now we have two approaches. Approach number one, guys, I'll let you out today 10 minutes early, okay? Kind-hearted, guys, everyone. To you.
Can you say it even if it's a Shabbat?
Okay, so we have two ways to explain Rashi so far. Way number one, first approach is a Chiddush in Hilchos. Tefillin. That they are?
Two.
Second approach, the Rambam, the two mitzvahs, what they have?
One
bracha. And the chiddush is you can have
one bracha
to two mitzvahs, and that is a chiddush of hilchos brachas. Maybe a third way. Who is the Baal Amor? What was his name?
Rabbeinu
Zerachia. Anyone know a friend named Zerachia? It's becoming a more popular name in today's day. Zerachia Levi. With a Zion Reish Ches Yud Hay. When did he live?
Late 18th century.
Time of the Ramban.
Come on.
Early 12th century. Early 12th century.
So like 600 years old.
The Ramban was older.
What's the source of our commentary on the Ramban?
Yeah, he's older than
the Ramban. No. Okay, where did he live? So he grew up in Spain. He grew up in the city of Girona, which is mostly known for who? Who lived in Girona?
Rabbeinu Yonah.
Lived in Girona. Rabbeinu Yonah in Girona, easy to remember. But he lived in Girona, but moved to France. He's one of the great Rabbanim of France. He lived from the Rabbeinu in France. Remember, France was late to the party, becoming a Makom Torah. Rashi lived in France. And Rashi had to go to Germany to study Torah. Remember I said yesterday in the Halacha Shiur, that in the 14th century, unfortunately, most of German Jewry were obliterated by all the post-Black Plague pogroms. But France became a Makom Torah because of Rashi and his grandchildren, his family, and the Baal HaTosfos, until it stopped being a Makom Torah after the Magen Rottenberg, more or less in the 14th century.
He sent Rush to...
Right, exactly. Rush moved to Spain. Okay, very good. Now, Rabbeinu Zerachia Levi, his primary sefer, he called it. Well, what would you call your sefer if your name were Zerachia? Zerach Hashem. She called it Sefer Hamor. But he wrote two svarim, two portions of the Sefer Hamor, one on Nashim and Ezekiel, which was a big thing that everyone would remember. People stopped learning everything about Nashim and Ezekiel because Jews had para legal courts and they had the paskin, Igunah. These were real psak. Today we don't really have batei din and we don't have that type of autonomy. But they spent a lot of time paskining Nezikin, a lot of time paskining Nashim. So most of the focus was on Nashim Nezikin. They moved away from Taharos, they moved away from Kachin, it wasn't Shaykh anymore. Moed was easier. So they spent a lot of time on Nashim and Nezikin, which is why his primary sefer on Nashim and Nezikin, he called it Hamor Hagadol. His sefer on Moed, he called Hamor Hakatan. And his sefer was written, not, I wouldn't say attacking, he says beautiful things about the riff in his introduction, but correcting the riff, let's say. Oh my goodness, did this elicit a firestorm? I mean, you do not write. It's like I don't know, Zevi, you're writing a sefer against Rabbi Soloveitchik. You go through everything Rav Schechter said. I think differently. I think, like, what do you mean? Some say he even wrote it when he's very young. So, for example, the Ramban wrote a sefer defending the Rif against the Ravid. What does the Ramban call a sefer defending the Rif against the Ravid? Sefer Eschus. But what does the Ramban call a sefer defending the Rif against the Malamor? Jihad. Milchamas Hashem. This is a war. He's got some very, very choice words for the Malamor in his Milchamas Hashem.
Next
right. Now, guys, seriously, I'm being serious with you. You know Talmud Chacham? A real Talmud Chacham?
He's
someone who can go through Malamor Rambans. That's the hardest thing to learn. The hardest, at least in Rishonim. The hardest thing to learn is to go to, like, someone who's asked me if I, all the time in the world, I could write a sefer, you know what I want to write? Seriously? I mean, I've got a list of 10 I'd like to write, but a sefer I'd like to write just in Lumnus, I'd like to write a Kahati or an art scroll for Balamor Rambans. Go through each line of Balamor Ramban and say what they're saying and explain to the Gemara. It's like, oh, the Gemara here, the Gemara here, the Gemara. Like, the Ramban was just like, throw 13 Gemaras at the Balamor. I'm like, okay, Erevin, Yavam was like, where am I heading? And Achram was like trying to read a Shaar HaMelech, the sefer, like, you know, some people knew Torah so well that just to keep pace, you have to know 30 Gemaras backwards and forwards. Like, suddenly, before I read an Achron, I just say, okay, I got to read the Gemara 10 times. Until I know this Gemara 10 times, I will not follow the Kiveh. Like, there's no way I have a chance. It was along the Kiveh. Like, he's just like, it's like second nature. Like, this blah, blah, blah. So reading Balamar Ramban is the hardest thing. And that's why Yeshiva is where you really have time. That's why I wanted to give you a little Balamar. It's obvious like this is such an earth shattering Kiddush, but just like to say you learned the Balamar, that's pretty impressive. I didn't learn Balamar as an art in high school. Say you learned the Balamar. Anyone ever learned a Balamar in Zion?
Yeah,
pretty cool. Which one?
High school.
I don't know. I didn't mean which school. I mean which. Oh, high school. I'm like, not grade school. Okay, so let's see the Balamor. The Balamor says, anyone see the Balamor? Did we get to the Balamor? No. How many mitzvos are there according to the Balamor? Balamor and Rosh Hashanah. How many mitzvos are tefillin? Two mitzvos. But according to the Balamor, you're looking at a unicorn. You're looking at a very unique halachic phenomenon. Two mitzvos that are meant to be?
Together.
Starts with jux, ends with opposed.
Juxtaposed.
Juxtaposed. Two mitzvahs that are meant to be glued together, bonded together. How does he know this trick? Anyone see it? Okay, let's read it together. The aim one, let's read it together. Aim one of kayotze ba b'chol ha-brachos b'chol ha-mitzvos. It's a unique, it's a very unique phenomenon. Why? Lefidaiti nirul. Matam amru sach ben tfila tfila veri. Afal pishu shtei mitzvos, aim the two mitzvos. Kivan dechsiv behu b'tfilik. Shol yad b'shol yad rosh. V'hayu li'os al yadcha ule zikaram b'nei necha. Tzarech shetei zechira tekef shol rosh l'shol yad. Kidei shetei havai achas l'shteyem. Keyword. Can everyone find the keyword in the pasuk? What tips off the Balamar that though there are two mitzvos, zikaron and os, they should be sequenced together. Fastened together. Juxtaposed. One word. What's the key word in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tara Min HaShamayim that tipped off Rabbeinu Zerachya in the 12th century that you have to perform them together, and if you speak before them and you separate them? The Hayu. Very good. There's only one, starts with a V, ends with verb. Only one verb in this pasuk. The Hayu. The Torah doesn't say V'hayali Osal Yabcha V'hayali Zikaron. Like it says in other circles. Like, what are the other circles? Four parashas in Tefillin. All the other parashas have two verbs. One for Yad, one for Rosh. For example, Ukshartam. Viha. You. See the two verbs? But in this one parasha in Bo, Vihaya. Vihayu. Lios. Okay, but that's all one mitzvah. Here's two mitzvahs, one sequence, one process. Interestingly enough, who would you think the Balamar would pasuk like about brachos? One bracha or two brachos? And it's one juxtaposed process of two mitzvahs. What would you say? The Balamar pasuk is like their Bain and Thomas. Two brachos.
He explains that.
But in theory, maybe, held like the Balamar. Who's Rashi. How many mitzvahs are they? But why is there one bracha? Not like they've only gone to the two mitzvahs of the same action. Two mitzvahs, two different actions, but one long juxtaposed process. And one long juxtaposed process maybe yields us one single bracha. Third approach to Rashi. Maybe Rashi held like the Baal Amor. The Baal Amor didn't hold like Rashi. Baal Amor says two brachos. But maybe Rashi, so three ways to explain Rashi. Three ways. Either it's one, or it's two mitzvahs with one bracha, because multiple mitzvahs can have one bracha. Either they're totally autonomous, we only know. Or this middle position, Baal Amor. Chiddush nine brachas with a tefillin. You've got two mitzvahs, but two mitzvahs. Can anyone think of something like that? Well, what areas in halacha would you want to look at? Which, this is a portal, Baal Amor. Like, imagine a sci-fi movie. You're entering a portal to some other world. Which other world is Baal Amor giving us entry to? We have multiple mitzvahs, but they're sequenced as to one long process. Very good. Excellent question. Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika. Maybe they're separate mitzvahs, maybe. It's one process. And since it's one process, what does that do for me? One process. Or maybe you can say, well, you know what, Shrek, you're wrong. Maybe the Baal Amor is right, because Tefillin Shoyad and Tefillin Shorosh can be joined into one process, but you can't really join Shechita and Zrika. What's the difference between joining Shechita and Zrika as opposed to joining, putting on Tefillin Shoyad?
Like, you're messing the whole day.
Yeah, right. What do we call the Maaseh Shoyad and Shorosh? It's like one process of
tying
or wearing, putting something on. Shechita is cutting, Zrika is throwing, Kabbalah is collecting, Olam is walking, Hatara is burning. Can you really combine separate actions into one more process? Here, it's not just two mitzvahs, then it's two mitzvahs that are very, very similar in terms of how you perform. Guys, ripple. Anytime you say anything in Shas, if you know Shas, it ripples to every other place in Shas. Shas is a circle, not a line. Until you know everything, you know nothing. Anytime you say one thing, it affects everything.
Infinite
goodness and radio. You don't know that. You don't know what pi is, right? You can't know pi because you can't know Hashem and Tom. It's just like you can't know pi. Yeah, Shema.
What does Baal Amor learn from that?
That the mitzvah should be performed together as one sequence. And therefore, just in terms of understanding the Gemara, because with this we're going to stop, according to the Baal Amor, do you see the Gemara that if you talk between Tefillin Shoyad and Tefillin Shorosh, it's an Avera? Can I show you that, Gemara?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the Avera according to Rashi and Tosfos? Because by talking, you
make
your bracha. Because what else would the Avera be? Just talk and make another bracha. What's wrong? According to Rashi, if you don't talk, you make one bracha. If you do talk, you make the bracha again. So talk and make a bracha. Who cares? So according to Rashi, it's making extra brachas. And by the way, someone asked me today about the tefillah. So now I'm sure I gave, in general, whenever you have a suffix brachas, in general, we are memayit as much brachos as we can. We don't like to make brachos. We don't like to say the Shem Hashem unnecessarily. So anytime you have a say, only exception is Beres HaMazon, which you pass again, Safek, your eyes of Chumba, conceivably Beres HaTorah, so they make a bracha. Maybe some would claim that if you have a Safek, whether you made a Shehagol, then it's a little bit different. It's not a regular Safek bracha, since Shehagol is a matir. If you're not matir the Ochel, you may be over on Gezel, so it's a Safek Gezel, not a Safek Bracha, so that's a Bekiva Eker in Brachas Lamedeg. But generally, our Netiyah is. That's why with Tefillah Sadarach, there's a big Safek, again, as I mentioned this morning. Is it distance? Is it time? Is it any danger? Is it this danger? Is it people living outside of the community? So our general Netiyah is, each of say, and again, you, even though you don't say Shem Hashem, you still Yotzei, right? People sometimes feel if they don't make a Bracha, they're not Yotzei the Mitzvah. When is this? What do people have this mistake sometimes? Omer. Oh my goodness! I missed the day. I'm finished. I can't be behind the mitzvah anymore. No, you're behind the mitzvah. We're just knowing to be machmer like a shita in Tosos, since you're not behind Tamimos, so in order to be machmer like Tosos, don't make the bracha. But according to the overwhelming majority of Yishonen, you missed 24. Continue counting. You do mitzvah 25, 26, 27. So we're just knowing. Well, I don't make the bracha, I'm not Yotzei. So we tend to try to limit the amount of brachos we recite. But according to the Baal Amor, what's the Avera if you speak between the fillings? You're messing up the... starts with S and ends with equens. Juxtaposition sequence. You're messing up the sequencing. Because according to Rashi, you don't need them to be together. There may be one mitzvah, but they don't need to be together. Or if they're separate mitzvahs, according to the Vilna Gaon, you just do them separately. But according to the Baal Amor, you need to put them together. Okay? What does that mean? You need to put them together? A little bit of machshava, guys. What do you put the tefillin shayat? On the heart, we put the tefillin shorosh, head. What are the two parts of the human identity? Emotion and intellect. You want them to be one continuous process. What do you put on first? Shoyad. What should drive human identity? Intellect or emotion? Emotion, identity, spirit, whatever you want to call it. We'll talk about the difference between them. But the intellect is a very important part, and it should be subject, it should be a tool. So you want them to be, number one, sequenced properly. First, Kenegat Aleh, then Kenegat Arosh. And also, you don't want to separate the two. You want to make sure, according to Balamor, that the Shalyad and the Sharosh are one process where your emotions drive your intellect and your intellect deepens your emotions. Sometimes when guys are talking to me about yeshiva, they're saying, what's the goal of yeshiva? To improve my skills or to build a deep, passionate kesher to Torah? And I say, you know what? Don't ask that question. Don't ask that question. Because without one, the other will be shallow. If you don't have the drive, you will not build skills. Because to build skills, it's not just a day or two or an hour or two. You have to sit there and sweat and not sleep and come in when you're tired and apply when you are learning with all your energy. This is not math. This is not science. This is not reading sports. This is b'chal levavcha, b'chal nafshecha, b'chal miyodecha. This is the hardest thing you'll ever do. And you'll have to do it for the longest amount of time in your life. And if you are driven by a passion for Torah, that it's Dvar Hashem, you will not develop the skills. And you know what else? You can come into yeshiva and go like this all day, for hours and hours and hours and hours, because you're passionately committed to Talmud Torah. But if you don't know how to learn, it's a whole different ballgame. If you know how to learn, you have the skills, and all of a sudden, all this Torah that I'm teaching, not all of it, but a lot of time I'm teaching, you know how many hours I've sacrificed for this Torah? You know how much blood, literally, I bite my nails. It's not a good habit, but you know how much blood has come out of my body for this Torah? I mean, not gallons, I'm like a vampire. I just mean, you know, I come home and I'm pleading, oh my God, who is this rabbi? Whose blood is he drinking? No, you know, seriously, you know how many hours, the Gush-based Medrash didn't used to have air conditioning. Yeah. Imagine sitting for hours in the summer. Before I was teaching, I was just sitting there hours and hours and hours on summer afternoons when no one's in the base medrash, or Friday afternoons. Let me tell you my Seder in yeshiva when I was a yeshiva bacher, okay? I really wanted to finish Bava Kamma Be'ir. So I found someone to learn with me, like an hour during the break, an hour afternoon Seder, because he didn't have that much time, but he was really good at Bava Kamma, but I really wanted to learn with him. I really needed more time. So we decided we're going to do marathons and shops. You know what our marathons were? These were marathons. We ended shiur like 10:30, lunch was like 12 or something. So let's say lunch at 12:30, took 15 minutes to relax. 12:45, 1 o'clock, till 10 minutes before mincha on Shabbos, we learned from the Beis Medrash. We went back, showered, came back from mincha. 12 Shabbos, 8. We had a pact, don't go out, don't go to anyone's house, don't go to any dishes. We finished the meal, then we lived another 2 hours, Friday night in the Beis Medrash, 12. And then the next day, same thing, till afternoon, Monday. We looked like we tried to cover, I don't know, 13, 14, 15 hours of a Shabbos. It's hard. You don't need to have a chachim, you got to work. But if it's your Torah, kiyem chayin, or if you internalize and you're able, you're not just, oh, he said this, he said this, he said this. I'm trying to get you guys to be part of the circuit. Look, you guys are part of the circuit now. You guys, this is your circuit. Is it one mitzvah? Is it two mitzvahs? One bracha? And all of a sudden, it becomes your Torah. It becomes your chelek in Torah. You say on Shabbos, we say in chelkeinu v'sarasecha, what's your chelek in Torah? Let me say it to you differently. When you leave this world, will you have added to Torah? I told you, when you leave this world, will you have added to Jewish history? Will you have added to the Jewish people? How will you make a change in Torah? That doesn't mean you have to write a Sefer. Could be you'll finish Shas 7 times, and you'll teach all of your children Shas so well that it'll become part of your family's blood, and you'll be able to recite. Your kids will know Shas the way you know basketball. Maybe. Maybe your kids will know when they come to yeshiva, when they're in high school, they'll already know 600 blood tomorrow, or whatever. But you'll have made a change in Torah. You'll have brought more Torah to this world. Okay? I'll give you guys a little bit of time off. Mirz Hashem, we'll cover a beta time tomorrow. What's the Nikasha or Rashi? Why do you switch the bracha? There's one bracha and it goes above film, and all of a sudden, why do you switch? Maybe something will say in a beta time. We'll have Rashi. Wednesday! Right? Beta time day! Wednesday,
right? Wait, what was that point about
Can't you say that Shechita, Kabbalah, Zrika, and Haftarah is similar to Tefillin Shalyad and Tefillin Joshua?
But those each have their own verbs in the Pasuk. So, but you're trying to say the same idea.
Can we similar ideas? Can we use the Balamar's model as a template for other areas in Shas?
But isn't it better the Brachot on Korban is that explicit in Shas?
Yeah, not for Korban, it's for other things. Structural. Is Shlita totally autonomous from Zrika Kabbalah? We're going to say, you know what? Just like the Balamar took two mitzvahs but created a sequence that we have to do as one process, all of a sudden this is a new concept in Shas. We've got two mitzvahs, and I'm okay, but there's still at least a chafila, a hinder to put them together. That's a groundbreaking concept.
Do you make one What is the halacha in the Gemara? Do you make one bracha for the entire Hakravas Korban?
Probably not clear. The Gemara doesn't tell us.
Yeah.
Remember, all the brachas of the Rabbana doesn't really have a clear amount.
I know, but there is I think the last Mishnah in Pesachim that says bracha is an eating.
On a chila. We don't really know.
Do you know what the Rambam asks how many brachas there are?
I don't believe he talks about it. I don't believe he talks about brachas because it wasn't shy for the ones.
Thank you.
The Rambam puts Tzlan Shel Rosh before Tzlan Shel
Yad. Interesting question. Maybe you tell me to say the Beit Tam. Beit Tam is good. Oh, yeah.
That'll last the end of the show.
Oh, nothing, thank you. I don't realize that one of the first pictures that we'll see. Let's first see. So far, we haven't distinguished between Shel Rosh and Shel Yad. Fundamentally, we made the state of parshas, but we haven't seen that they're different mitzvahs. Maybe they're different mitzvahs categorically, but it's the same mitzvah, just one you have, one you have. With Beit Tam, we're going to start to see that maybe there are two totally different types of mitzvahs. Not just two slots in 615, two totally different mitzvahs, like tzitzis and lulav.
Yeah, also, I want to know. What's on else?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Enjoy the schnitzel of oil. Enjoy the schnitzel of oil.
Question. Thank you.
What is the protection money?
I bought.
I know you're a bruiser from Brooklyn, but I didn't know you already got in on the racket here. It took you 2 weeks. You're ready to collect the money. Do I have to pay also, or have I said? You got your friends in the bend. You got your friends from the hood coming over just in case. Tune up, cover a little bit. Westchester guy, a little dandelion over there.
yesterday something else.
Yeah.
I think the opposite of what the Rav said. In that,
just call this guy the Balamar. It's called Freddy the Bal. Modern day Balamar. He's always trying to get opposite of what Aaron said. Opposite Tuxus. Opposite of the Rav, yeah, what do you want to say?
That maybe that the part that is in the right order for you.